Blog Talk Radio.
Come on, y'all, make some noise. Make some noise, make some noise, make some noise. Come on, make some noise out there.
Welcome to Word Outreach International with your host, Dr. Jerry O. Robinson, bringing practical teaching, spiritual insight, and prophetic utterances from the Word of God. So call your friends and family and tell them to tune in right now to Word Outreach International. May God continue to richly bless you.
Good morning, all of you bloggers out there. It is Blog Talk Radio once again.
Amen. Praise
with
God.
Your host, Dr. Jerry O. Robinson.
Thank you, Jesus.
And with one of the greatest persons of my life today, and my queen, my priceless princess, the one and only, my wife, Marla J. Robinson.
Praise the Lord.
With me today, and I praise God for her.
Good morning. We love you.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Good morning to you guys out there. Those of you who listen to us in the archives, and also those who listen to us live. We just want to give a shout out to all of the people there at TaylorMade and Patrick Cook and everybody that makes this
Thank you, Jesus.
Available to us.
Praise the Lord.
May the blessings of the Lord rest upon you.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. It's so good to be in the presence of you guys again as you listen to us, and thank you for all the responses that we received in the archives and people who listen to us. And we want to say that we pray that everything that we're sharing at some place in some way is touching and blessing your life to the point where it will make you the person that God has called you to be. Amen.
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word today as we minister to the people that have so diligently set their ears to hear.
Let yes, Lord.
Every word that we speak,
thank
be
you,
seasoned
Jesus.
With grace and truth.
Yes, Lord.
And let every word that we say fall on the ground of good in the hearts of men who listen, that they will produce fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold.
Thank
and
you,
they will
Jesus.
Be hearers, not just only of the word, but doers as well.
Thank you, Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
And we give you praise and honor and glory and majesty, dominion and power.
Yes, Lord.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Yes, Lord, amen.
All right, we set you out a blog there, and we told you that we're going to be discussing the topic today, fear.
Yes.
And as I look, you know, this is the time of the year
mm-hmm.
when everybody celebrates fear.
Well, not everybody.
Well, mostly everybody, you know what I mean.
A lot
when
of
I
people.
Say a lot of people celebrate fear. And when I say we just as a whole, but no, we don't celebrate it in this household.
No, sir. We
but
do
the
not.
Bottom line is, you know what I'm talking about. We're talking about Halloween,
mm-hmm.
and we'll talk about that later on as we move into the podcast in probably next week's segment. But we're going to talk about fear today because we want to talk from this particular idea. Where does fear come from? Where did it originate? And what does the Word of God say about it?
Amen.
Let's talk about that just for a minute. What is the word? What is fear actually? Fear is actually being subject to bondage or having a feeling of torment.
Amen.
Now, in the end of that, we want to just begin to share from the Word of God what the Lord has said about it and how the Lord views fear and what it does to you and I as believers.
Amen.
In the book of Hebrews, you have your Bibles with us. We want you to go with us to the book of Hebrews chapter 2. And it is basically, for those of you who who study the Word of God, you've heard this particular passage of Scripture before, but today we're going to just really labor with it a little bit. And
amen.
It is in Hebrews chapter 2, verse, we'll start at verse 13. And again I say, I will put my trust in him, and again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. That is the writings of the Hebrew writer, who some say is Paul. They actually, the expositors and the theologians actually have no particular author as of such. But the language there symbolizes the speech of the Apostle Paul. So let's just say, for the sake of the author of the book, that it was written by the Apostle Paul, because the language does definitely sound like him. But here, the Hebrew writer now is actually giving us a vivid understanding of what the Bible has said and how God views the spirit of fear. Now, honey, did you want to say something? Were you looking at something about fear?
Well, I know a lot of times people don't always understand certain things, and I just like to give a definition for fear. Since we are talking about, you know, what the Word of God says about fear, we'll look at it both ways and see what does Webster's Dictionary or Thesaurus, other theologians say, and other persons who we and people in the world would recognize and understand as having an understanding and a natural knowledge of what the word fear means. Fear, basically, is a noun. So we know that a noun is a person, place, or thing. And it also can be a verb, which means it can show action. As a noun, it's a feeling. When one thinks they're in danger or that they feel pain or trouble is near, it's also a feeling of being worried or excited or wanting, you know, to do something. Like, you know, some children really, when they were growing up, wanted to go from riding a little tricycle to riding a bike. Well, when you first get on that bike, it's not like what you think. And when you fall and skin your knee or your elbow, you may be fearful of getting, especially as a child, of getting back on that bike again. But because you know that it's an excitement to wanting to do what you want to do with the riding of that bike and seeing others on two-wheelers, you just get back up there and you keep going. So now that's the noun part. Now the verb part is the fear of. The fear of something, or to be afraid of something. It's to dread something. And again, it's an anxious or uneasy feeling. Mm-hmm. So fear deals with the feelings that a person has.
Okay. Well, in this particular, in the book of Hebrews, chapter 2, as we just read, here the writer now is expounding on what the Lord has viewed through this writer as fear, because he goes on to say in verse 14, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who, through fear of death," now, as you just said, of something, "of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." That means you and I, friend, or you and me. That means that you and I were subject to fear all of our lives, the fear of death. Mm. Nobody wants to die. Everybody, basically, who has not had a born-again experience is afraid of dying.
Yes.
And when I say afraid of dying, I mean that there is a thing there that says, what is there anything after? Is there a God? Some people ask the question, is there a God? Some people ask the question, is there a hell? Some people ask the question, is there a heaven? And all of these questions. And Paul, or the Hebrew writer, says that we were all delivered through fear of death because we were all of our lifetime subject to that bondage.
Yes.
Now, what is bondage? Bondage is being bound by a thing. Bound by a thing as in what? Being, and as my wife will give you a more vivid view, I just want to give you a general idea of what the word bondage encompasses. Because what we're really dealing with here is a person who is subjected or subject to it. Read it. What does it say?
Well, basically, the understanding, just one simple word, deals with bondage. And any lexicographer will just basically, or a lexicography informational book will tell you, in the end, that bondage is also a noun, action. Bondage, in one simple word, is slavery. That's basically it. I mean, there are many other definitions for it, to bind, to do other things. It can also be a written agreement. It's a bond, but the main definition for the word bondage is slavery.
Okay, so now we see that it is being enslaved or being entrapped.
Yes, yes.
So a person who is in bondage has become a slave to fear.
Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
Now,
Lord Jesus.
The word fear, as Marla, my wife, has shared with you, it can be a feeling. It can be an acquaintance of a thing that you don't know about.
Mm-hmm.
And because, you know, most of the time people are afraid of something that they don't know about.
That's right. That's right.
And that's why little children are afraid of the dark, because they don't know, they can't see what's in the dark. So they become afraid of the dark, because actually the Lord created us to live in the light. But we know that's a long story. We have the dark and the day and the night. So, and you know, just for the side trip of that, we've just gone through a blood moon. So
yes.
we understand that dark side of it, and we'll talk about that a little bit later on into the podcast. But listen, the person who is in bondage has become a slave. And how do they become a slave? They become a slave to whatever they are bound to. And what are we talking about today? We're talking about the number one bondage, and that is fear. And everybody is acquainted with fear, but we don't have to be overtaken by it. We don't have to be, as one word says, full of it or fearful.
Yes.
Because the Hebrew writer says we were subject to it all of our lives, but Jesus Christ came to deliver us, more in particularly, from the fear of death.
Yes. Oh,
so
yes.
You're being subject to it. What does that really mean? What does being subject to a thing mean?
Well, the word subject within itself is an adjective, which we all know. And I know you may be saying, oh, they're giving us all kind of, you know, elementary lessons or educational lessons. But basically, it's just keeping us informed. We learned back when we were younger, second, really, some first graders pretty much began to learn and get understanding of what nouns, verbs, adjectives, all of that encompasses. And in everyday life, we use these things. And I'm just trying to keep it real. If they help us to understand it even the better, even the more. Because we know that an adjective is a word that really describes a noun or a pronoun. Well, the word subject means under the power or control of another. we also know that subjects we learned in school, like we have a subject of English, a subject of math. So those things were also in that understanding. Those subjects helped us. It laid things open. It made things available to us. But it still brought us under a type of control or a type of power of the knowledge of what that thing is.
So that means that you and I, that and give us another, just give us the now part of that again, just so that we can have an understanding of what it is. Say it again to us. It's being having power. A person have over things.
Basically, it's being under the power or control of another.
Okay, so now fear. And let me say it to you this in this manner, in this wise. Words have personalities.
Yes.
And so now fear is a personality.
Uh-huh.
Fear, the word itself, means to be afraid. Now, so that means that the personality of fear, or the word of fear, has brought people who deal with it under the power.
Yes.
Or
yes,
as we would say during this particular time of the season, bail.
Yes. There we go.
You know, because most people are talking about witches and warlocks, and they don't think that those people are real, but they are. And they, at point, believe in spells. They cast spells on people, and they do things that are ungodly and unrighteous, and we don't
yes.
want to get into that at this particular point. We want to make this as plain as possible. Before we start getting really into the entree part of this, we want to just deal with the appetizer, because
mm-hmm.
a lot of times people get so caught up in the appetizer that they can't even deal with the entree. They eat too much. So we don't want to give you a lot of, we don't want to give you the entree before you have an appetizer. We don't want to have you full before you actually are beginning to understand what God is saying to us and what we are coming from here about it, but about the word fear. Now, being under the power.
Yes.
You know, fear has so many avenues in which a person can travel in it. But today we're talking about the fear of death.
Mm-hmm.
Because most people are afraid to die.
All right.
And so in the book of Hebrews chapter 2, and yes, verse 14 through 13 through 15, the Apostle Paul, or the writer of the Hebrews, tells us a little bit about what is actually taking place here. Now, we want to expound on verse 15 as much, because it really entitles a lot, because it brings us to a place of dealing with what the Hebrew writer is really actually talking about here. We just want to give you an idea of what we're talking about in terms of dealing with the fear of death. And when we come back into the podcast on the next time, on our next episode, we will deal with verse 10, for it says, "For it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings." Now, we're not going to talk about that today, but we just want to give you a little bit about it, because we don't want to leave you hanging about Hebrews chapter 2, verse, and what it really entails. We really want to talk about, what we're really talking about is the fear of death, because fear actually, let's just talk about where death originated, where fear originated. Fear originated in the Garden of Eden.
Yes.
When the enemy deceived Adam and Eve. But we're going to talk about it. And so what happened was, when God spoke to them and said in the second chapter, and he said, "When the day of you eat of this place, of this tree, you shall surely die." And they didn't believe that. So the enemy tricked them.
Yes.
That's what we are talking
oh,
about
yes.
in this particular hour, in this season, as we call Halloween, trick or treat.
Mm-hmm.
So the jack-in-the-box popped up in the garden and said, "Hello, Adam and Eve." And I'm getting figurative here. I'm getting shaky because I like Jackson. I like Jackson, jack-in-the-box. But this was the wrong one. It was the enemy himself who came into the presence of the man and the woman in the garden, and he deceived them by saying to them that God didn't mean what he said.
Yes.
So at the end of the day, he began to trick them. And Eve thought she was getting a treat, but she was really being tricked.
Yes.
And so was Adam, and therefore they became subject.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
To bondage.
Mm.
Because when they disobeyed God, they did not die as we know it in a physical sense immediately.
That's right.
But they died spiritually.
Oh, yeah.
And we're going to talk about that. As a matter of fact, let's just go there because we want to really give you an understanding of what we're talking about in the terms of the fear but we'll talk about it as we move forward. They were tricked. They were deceived by the enemy because they were in disobedience. And you can
mm-hmm.
read it in Genesis chapter 2 or 3. But you can see that after the creation and God dealing with man and putting him in the garden and giving him dominion and giving him the authority over all the things that were in the earth, then the enemy comes because of his jealousy. And long story short, he begins to deceive them.
Yes.
Now they are subject to death because they disobeyed God and they died spiritually.
Yes.
So now we have that picture. So that's where we find the very origination of the word fear, because it deals with death.
Yes.
They died spiritually, which actually, let me give you the literal Sunday school clear primary meaning of the word death at that particular time with them. They did not die physically.
No.
One more time, they died spiritually.
Uh-huh.
And they were eradicated. They were rejected. They were removed.
Evicted.
They were evicted.
Yes.
They were pushed out of the presence of God.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Now, that's death.
Oh, yeah.
And that's fear.
Uh-huh.
Not knowing now. It's like a child being in the dark, as I said earlier. Now they have never experienced.
Never.
What took place with them on their spiritual death. They became subject to something that they didn't know about.
Mm-hmm.
They became subject to being out of the very presence of God, who was their protector.
Mm-hmm.
And now, all of a sudden, they have become subject to somebody else.
All right.
They have become a slave.
Mm-hmm. All right. All right.
And that's why the Apostle Paul said, all of our lifetime, we were subject.
Mm-hmm.
To fear.
Yes, sir.
Of the bondage, we were subject to the death.
Yes.
Of fear.
Yes.
Or the death of bondage, or the fear of bondage. It was something that they had never experienced, out of the presence of God, not knowing what would take place, not knowing what would go on, and now they're not only out of the presence of God, but they are confronted with an enemy who wants to destroy them.
Hmm.
Who wants to kill them.
Oh, yeah.
And now they're in darkness.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And that's why little children are afraid of the dark.
Oh, yes.
Because fear of and the disobedience of fear put Adam and Eve in the dark.
Can't see. They could not see.
I'm going to say it one more time.
See the face of God anymore.
Okay.
Be in the presence of God, holistically seeing him, being able to talk with them and speak with them anymore. That was over.
And so that's death. That's death that is at its highest level, being out of the presence of God and not knowing whether you're protected, not knowing whether you have any communications. It's, let me put it to you this way. It would be like you being in a place where you you know you have people who are trying to apprehend you, and let's say it's at night and you're in a dark place, and you're running for your life.
No GPS.
And nothing's there, and all of a sudden, you find this place of refuge, you think,
yes.
where you can hide and where you won't be tormented by the individual that's chasing you.
Trying to apprehend.
But you're in darkness,
mm.
and you have no, and let's say you don't know where you are.
Mm.
Let's say you're in a forest and you don't know where you don't have a compass, you don't have a light, you can't use a light because if you use a light, they'll locate you.
Yes.
And so now all of a sudden you are alone. And you are in fear.
Oh, yes.
Because the person is seeking to take your life.
Oh, yes.
Am I being vivid enough to give you kind
yes.
of an understanding of what? You've seen a lot of old spooky movies and stuff. You see what people are.
Oh,
and
yes.
One of my favorite commercials is the Wayman Brothers when they were telling the guy in the commercial, don't go back in the woods. But anyway, that's another story. The guy's running back into the place where he's going to be apprehended.
Mm.
But the bottom line is what I want to share with you today. Is can you understand how they felt?
Yes, Lord.
They were in darkness.
Thank you, Jesus.
They had nothing to show them where to go, no place to point. They had no direction.
Yes, Lord.
And friend, is that you today? Are you feeling like you have no direction? Are
Thank
you feeling
you,
like you are in darkness? Do you feel like that there's nothing that you don't know which way to turn?
All
which
right.
way to, you're in the crossroads of life, and fear is telling you that you're not going to get to the place where you desire. You're not going to make it to the destination. Man or woman, what is it? Is that you today? You don't know whether or not you're going to be able to pay your next bill, or you don't understand where you're going to live, or you don't know, man or woman of God, where you are in your ministry, and you don't know what you're going to do about direction. Is that you today?
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Well, friend, I want to tell you, you don't have to be subjected or subject to bondage.
Yes, Lord.
Or the spirit of fear that brings bondage.
Thank you, Jesus.
You are free.
Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory.
All right. Let's turn to the book of Romans, chapter 8.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory.
And it starts at verse 1. We says that if you have your Bible. Listen what. Now, this is Paul. He's writing to the Roman church. And he's giving them a little bit of idea about what this particular death thing is all about. Listen to what he says, verse 1. He says, Therefore, and I'm being a little fast, but
now.
I'm there is therefore now.
Now.
Now means now. Now means now.
Yes.
No condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Watch this.
Mm-hmm.
That means the Word of God, of course.
Yes.
For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death.
Yes, Lord. Hallelujah.
Now, let's talk about that just for a minute.
Thank you, Jesus.
There is therefore now.
Mm. Now.
Somebody said, well, what is this word here for? What does therefore mean? Therefore means therefore. This is what that word is there for. To tell us that we don't have to be in bondage.
Yes, Lord.
Okay? Now, it's at the moment, you know, it's the in present indicative. It's the present time. I like to say present indicative of now. It's just now. You can't get it any better. Now is now. It's the moment. It's the moment that we're in, what
yes.
we're talking about. And so the Apostle Paul says, you don't have to wait till tomorrow not to be in condemnation. Because this is what this is there for. It's there for now. This word, no condemnation.
Yes.
To them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh. What do you mean? Walk after the minds or the things of this world, but who walk after the Spirit or the Word of God. So let me tell you something, friend. The Word of God is the only freedom that you're going to have from bondage.
Yes. Right.
You've tried the rest. Let's try the best. You've tried everything else. You've tried
glory.
You've tried your education. You've tried your job. You've tried your wife. You've tried your husband. You've tried all of the things. You've tried drugs. You've tried all type of alcohols. You've tried
yes.
everything that you could possibly think of that would make you not be afraid, and you find yourself back again, subject to fear. People who have a lot of money are afraid that somebody's going to take it.
Yes.
People who don't have any money are afraid they're not going to get any. So I'm just telling you that fear is a bondage. this subject. Yes.
Oh, yes.
Yes, darling.
Oh, yes, it is. And especially when you're out of Christ, because we know in Christ we fear, the basic fear that we're supposed to have is a reverence. It's
yes.
to fear God and to love the Lord with all our heart, our mind, and our soul. But outside of that fear, outside of the reverence of the Father God, of the Lord God, of Jesus Christ, then there is a fear that is false evidence appearing real. That's the acronym for the word fear. F, false. E, evidence. A, appearing. Something that you can see. R, real. False evidence appearing real. It's fake. It's a phony.
Yes, it is. It is. Definitely. Notice what she said during the acronym of that. Fear, false, E, A, evidence, A, appearing, R, real. It appear, now, wait a minute. Hold on. I know that some of you guys, I hear some of you out there now talking, saying, well, you know, stuff is real, man. What are you talking about? I don't mean that stuff. Now, well, let me explain to you what I'm saying. The truth is, the good news is that the bad news is wrong.
Hallelujah.
Now, what do you mean, Jerry? What I'm saying is I'm not going to say that it's not there. I'm not going to say that it does not exist. I'm not saying that I'm one of those guys who says that we are just going to envision in our mind that I'm going to be ignorant and say it's not there. It is there.
Yes. Yes.
That's why we're talking about it today, because it's there.
Yes.
And that's why we're talking about it, because of what the Word of God says, therefore.
Yeah. Therefore.
The Word is there for you not to know, for you to know that you don't have to be bound by fear.
All right.
So we're not saying that fear doesn't exist, and we're not saying that fear is not there. What we're saying is it's false.
Yes.
Now, I know somebody's saying, what do you mean it's false? I'm scared. I'm afraid. I'm shaky. I'm tormented. Man, what do you mean? What I mean by that is that it is not the truth.
That's right.
See?
Yes.
It is a truth, but it is not the truth.
Yes.
Watch what I'm saying. It is a truth, but it is not the truth. The truth will make you free.
Yes.
John 8:32, Jesus said,
hallelujah.
And you will know the truth.
Yes.
And the truth that you know is what makes you free, not just the truth itself. Because this truth has been here all the time. The Holy Bible is here, and a lot of people still bound. I'm saying that the truth you know makes you free.
Yes.
And so I came to tell you today that the Word of God has proclaimed to you. Now I'm giving you the truth.
Yes.
And the truth says you are free.
Free.
In the book of Romans chapter 8, it
glory
says we are out of bondage.
Out of bondage.
We are not in condemnation.
Thank you, Jesus.
We are not condemned. Sin and life, the spirit of the law of death, sin and death, has been condemned by the word of God through Christ Jesus. Listen what
yes.
it says in verse 3. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, that means our mind, what we think, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, he came just like you and me, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. In other words, Christ has condemned fear. He's condemned the fear of sin, the fear of death, because that means that we were all our lifetime subject to that bondage of sin and death, as Hebrews 2:15 has described to us.
Yes.
We were subject to all our lifetimes to the spirit of sin and death. But the law of the Spirit
yes,
of
sir.
God has
hallelujah.
In Christ Jesus has made me free,
free
from the law of the sin that we are dealing with in this world and death.
Hallelujah.
What law are you talking about? I'm talking about the Word of God. The Old Testament is the law in which we could not keep.
Yes.
It was the bondage in which we were in. And if you broke one part of that law, you were guilty of the whole thing.
Uh-huh.
But Jesus Christ came
yes.
and decided that he would forever destroy the spirit of the law of sin and death by giving his life.
Yes.
And so verse 3 says again, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Lord, I thank you for sending us Jesus.
Jesus, hallelujah.
In the likeness of sinful flesh.
Bless your name.
He became like you and me.
Yes.
So he can understand what we were going through. So he was, the Hebrew writer went on to say in verse chapter 4, in verse 12, he was touched with the feelings of our infirmities.
Yes.
But yet he did not sin.
Did not.
And we're going to talk about that a little bit later.
Yes, yes.
All right.
Let me just, if you don't mind.
Yes, ma'am.
Doctor and apostle,
yeah.
The word free. Free is another adjective. Free means not under the control of another. You're not a slave. This is part of what Webster's Dictionary says. Not a slave. Not tied up, not bothered or held down. That's what free means.
Say that again. You're not tied up.
You're not, number one, not being subject. You're not under the control of another, which means, remember, fear is being under control of something. So free means you're not fearful.
Are you not under the control of bondage?
Of bondage, of another. Not a slave, not subject, not tied up, not bothered or held down.
You're not under the control of fear. You're not under the false is what we're dealing with here.
Yes.
You're not under the control of the false because the other F is free.
Yes.
False means the false evidence is that you're in bondage.
Uh-huh.
But the word has given us, therefore, now. That's what it's there for. Now, no condemnation.
No condemnation.
To them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So now you're not subject.
Yes, Lord.
You're not subjected.
Mm.
You're not a slave.
Yes, Lord.
You're not now bound.
Yes,
you have now.
Glory.
Therefore now, you are free.
Yes.
Thank you for that, Mr. Robinson.
Yes.
All right, listen. Did you have something else?
Well, you've been saying therefore so much that you know I had to get that definition for therefore. And basically, therefore is for this or for that.
Therefore is
for this, or it's that reason, or it's that cause, or it's the result of this. And that.
So that's what it's there for. This and that. Or that and this.
Yes.
That's what it's there for.
Mm-hmm.
This or that. In this case, it's therefore for against sin and death. In another case, it's therefore now no condemnation to you and me. We're not slaves anymore.
As a result of.
We're not bound anymore.
We're not bound. It's as a result of.
That's what it's there for.
Yes.
Amen. So now listen. Now we find that verse 15 of chapter 8 of Romans says, listen.
Yes, Lord.
For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father.
Yes, Lord.
Now the Apostle Paul goes on to he begins to really set the law straight with the people in the book of Romans. In chapter 8, verse 15, he begins to set the law. He lays the law down about the truth. And he goes on to tell them, he says in verse 11, let's go there just for a minute. He says, but if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies, his spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, ye shall die. That's the spirit of fear.
Yes.
But if we through the spirit of do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live.
Yes, Lord. Hallelujah.
For as many as are led, not by the spirit of fear, but by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage, there we go again, to fear. Fear what? Dying.
Mm-hmm.
But ye have received the spirit of adoption. Now we're not in the dark anymore. Mommy and daddy has come to get us.
Yes.
And now we're little boys and little girls. We don't have to be in the darkness anymore. Say, Mommy, I want the light. Daddy, I want the light. Please turn the light on. I can't see. I'm afraid.
Mm-hmm.
We have been now called by adoption, whereby we cry, Daddy, I'm over here. Daddy, please come to the room. I'm sorry, but I'm afraid. So now we cry, Abba, Father. We're calling Daddy. He is our Father.
Yes.
And he has brought us out of darkness.
Yes.
Into his marvelous light. Therefore, now we don't have to be subject anymore all of our lifetime as we were to fear, to sin, and the fear of death.
Yes, Lord. Thank you.
Hallelujah.
Jesus. Hallelujah.
So now listen. As we come into the runway today, dealing with this thing called fear. So now we are now at the place where we've given you just a little bit of a general idea of what God is saying about it and where it originated from, because actually nobody wants to die. That's the end result of what fear is all really representing. It represents death, and we were subject to it at one time all of our lives.
Yes, sir.
Now, we want to just for a few minutes, want you to really hear what the Lord is saying. The reason why we're dealing with fear in this particular month is because, and we're going to do a couple of more blogs on this by the grace of God, leading all the way up to Halloween. But what we want to talk about just for a few minutes here is, do we celebrate fear? Ask yourself that question. Do we celebrate fear? In other words, if we do, how do we entertain it? And if we don't, what do we do not to celebrate? Let's talk about celebrating it today. Somebody says, well, you know, I don't celebrate fear, and I don't really, because I don't like fear.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's a multi-million-dollar question, do we celebrate fear? What I'm telling you, that's the real reason why we're having the blog today and talking about the subject, is because this is the month that the world, especially the United States of America,
yes,
celebrates fear.
Yes, sir.
And we call it Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
And we put up billboards, we put up neon signs, we put up draperies of, we go to our stores and retail places, have all kind of ugly, scary faces, all types of ugly, scary, yes, ma'am?
Spiders. Witches.
And pumpkins and witches and old fogey people with ugly noses.
Well, not the
pumpkin, bad
with
teeth.
Jack-o'-lantern has this scary face.
And all of the ugly things that represent this day we call Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
It is a total celebration of fear.
Yes. Yes, it is. Total. Whole month. Whole month.
They set aside a whole month to celebrate fear.
Mm.
And they get mad at me because I set aside a day to celebrate faith.
Yes.
God,
glory.
God.
Hallelujah.
Or to say that this is the day that the Lord has made. And I
yes.
will rejoice and be glad in it.
Thank you.
And people are saying, really? Is there really any hope in the world?
Glory.
You know?
Oh, yes.
I came to tell you that the day that you're not subject to bondage, you're not subject to the spirit of sin and fear of death anymore, you have been made free from the law of sin and death. And the spirit of the law of the word of God has made you free in Christ Jesus.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
I'm so excited about that. I don't know what to do.
Thank
I tell you
Jesus.
What, I if I could get up and run out around this place, I would do that, but I don't think that would help me with the podcast today, but that's how excited I am. Praise God. I just want you to know that the law of life has authority over the law of sin and death. And the law of life is having the Spirit of God. Do we celebrate fear? Yes, we do. And I'm so discouraged now in terms about how people say, and see, I don't have a problem with the world celebrating fear because they call it Halloween, but I have a problem when it gets into the house of God.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I have a problem, and you know, people are saying, well, you know, we're celebrating harvest. This is the harvest season. Yes, I understand. But I don't want, and this is something that I said in my message on Sunday while I was preaching. I said, look, we as the world we are the ones who should have set the standard.
As a church.
Excuse me, thank you. The world has set a standard for us, and we are the ones who are actually the standard in the world.
Yes.
Now, I quote what Brother Schambach and other people have said in the past, the world has become churchy and the church has become worldly.
Mm-hmm.
You got so many people now saying that they are believers in the world until you just say, well, you know, they say they're born again. And then the church is saying, well, you know, we don't care about them and what they do just as long as they come to church. Doesn't mean you're saved, friend. You can have your name tacked on the back of a barnyard door and is in red paint, white paint on a red barn. But it doesn't mean that you that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Doesn't mean that you're saved. Doesn't mean anything. Doesn't mean that your name is there. It doesn't mean that you have an actual experience with Christ.
Yes.
So that doesn't mean you're born again because you say you are.
All right.
Or because you say that there are fruits that come with being born again, and there are fruits with being free, and there are fruits with being in bondage.
Yes, Lord.
Now, listen. Somebody says, you're ragging me. Of course I am. Because the spirit of fear is not to be celebrated by believers.
All right.
Now I know that I just punched a good button on that one.
All right.
Because.
Yes, Lord. Glory. Hallelujah.
Listen to what Romans 6 and 11 says. Let's just go there for a minute. Romans chapter 6, verse 11. Just a couple of books over from chapter 8 of Romans. It says, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Listen. The very reason that we are afraid, as I went back, and I'm going to say it one more time, so I'm going to continue to reiterate this throughout the podcast because I want people to really understand what the very essence of fear is and what the root result of fear is. The root result of fear is death. I'm going to say that one more time. The root result of fear is death.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Because fear brings torment.
Yes. Yes.
And everybody who's celebrating Halloween, have you ever seen Friday the 13th, Freddy Krueger, and all the people who... Now, all of these things are set by Hollywood to produce fear, ultimately. What happens to the individual in those movies? They are murdered, or massacred,
yes.
Or they die.
Oh, yeah.
And the spirit of fear comes to torment them to the place of death.
Yes.
Don't look at any more scary movies. All right. Anyway, because
that's what they're designed for.
Yeah.
To make you afraid.
We
put fear in you.
So, yes.
It's the planting of a seed.
Yes.
You know that they're dealing with the harvest season. Yes, it is. Either you're going to plant the seeds of righteousness or the seeds of unrighteousness, which basically you're going to plant faith or you're going to plant fear.
Right. And so the world is dedicated a whole month and doing a great job.
Yes.
And when I say the world, I mean the fleshly part of men.
Yes.
When I say the world, I mean the carnal part of men.
Yes.
When I say the world, I'm talking about things that are not pertaining to godliness.
Thank you, Jesus.
Life in God and it's in Christ. When I say the world, I mean people who have not been born again. When I say the world, I'm talking about people who have not subject themselves to who God is.
Yes.
That's what I mean when I say the world.
Yes.
These are the things that have happened and are happening to us through those mechanisms that we use in devices in areas of what we call movies, what we call any kind of audio thing, any type of visual aid that we use to bring about the excitement of this thing we call Halloween. It is in the air during this time of the year. As a
yes.
matter of fact, they even put it in the stores before this time of the month starts, just so that everybody can get a little bit of a precursor, a little bit of appetizer to what's going on.
Yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
What am I here for today? I'm here so that you can get, I'm here for you to get the therefore. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say that one more time. I'm here for you to get the therefore.
Yes.
Therefore, there is now no condemnation. You don't have to be in fear, friend. You don't have to be in bondage. You don't have to be subject to it. You don't have to be afraid. And little children, and I know that some of those children we're dealing with are afraid. As my wife shared earlier, there's a fear we're acquainted with, the feeling of falling, the feeling of being rejected, the feeling of not having support.
Yes.
When you don't know, as she gave the illustration about the bicycle, now you've left the tricycle,
mm-hmm.
and now you left the three-wheeler. You had some security there somewhere. And, you know, every once in a while, you might want to turn that thing to the side and hit a wheelie or whatever, but you left your security.
Yes.
Now you don't have three wheels anymore. You got two.
Mm-hmm.
Now you've got to learn how to balance.
Yes.
And there is a fear there that you are going to fall.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
and
yeah.
Everybody who's ever rode or has ridden a bicycle always knows that once they get on it, it's like, oh, I've got to hold myself. I've got to, and it's a balancing act.
Yes.
But the fear of falling is what we're talking about. There, and you know what? This is all that death is. It's the fear of falling.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Adam and Eve failed in the garden.
Mm-hmm.
They fell.
Oh, yes.
What did they fall from? They fell from the grace of God.
Oh, yes. Hallelujah.
And if you've ever jumped, there's a fear in falling. If you don't feel like you're going to land properly.
Oh, yeah.
Or if it seems like it's too far, because you know you're going to hurt yourself.
Yes.
There's a fear in falling.
Mm-hmm.
But listen what the Apostle Paul says. One more time in Romans chapter 6, verse 11, he says, listen, friend. He says, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Christ Jesus our Lord. You're dead to fear. You're dead to falling. You're dead to it. Listen at verse 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. So you don't have to worry about falling anymore. Grace is there to get you.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You know what? So many of us have failed. We
yes.
fail. And fear is the very essence of falling.
Thank you,
and
Jesus.
Let's use the word fail. Have you ever failed at something?
Mm.
You wanted to achieve. You wanted to be a winner. You wanted to be the one on the top, but you found yourself failing.
Yes.
That's fear. Fear says, failing says that you're not going to win.
That's what it says.
You're not an overcomer. You're not a conqueror. You're not a winner.
All right. Yes.
I was watching a girls' volleyball game a little bit yesterday. So my wife was at a volleyball game as well. Nobody wants to lose. And there is a fear there. Because when you're in competition,
yes,
somebody's got to win and somebody's
gotta lose.
And the songwriter says, in good time, Charlie has the blues. Anyway, that's another story.
All right.
Well, it's a good time Charlie had the blues because he knows that he, somebody's got to win and somebody's got to lose, and he feels like he's a loser because he's got the blues. Let me tell you something, friend. Are you in the blues today?
Mm.
Because what fear does is saying you're losing.
Yes.
Fear says you failed.
Yes.
Fear says you're not going to win.
Not
going
to win.
Fear says you're not going to make it.
All right.
Fear says you're never going to get where you're supposed to be.
All right.
Fear says you're never going to lose this addiction. Fear says you're never going to be free be what God be what you have inspired to be or aspired to be. Fear says that you'll never get that degree. Fear
uh-huh.
says that you'll never move to that nice place.
Yes.
Fear says that you'll never get that education. Fear says that you'll never find the right person that you need in your life to fulfill you. Fear says that you'll always be lonely. Fear, 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 fear. And people are celebrating this in a whole month called Halloween.
Yes. Oh, yes.
And it all leads to one thing.
Mm.
It leads to death.
Yes.
Well, how did Jesus address fear? What did he say about it? You know, we cannot allow the spirit of fear as we come to a close today. How did he address it? Friend, let's go back to Romans chapter 8, verse 2. He says, "For the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death." He addressed it by verse 3. "For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh." That's how he addressed it. He addressed
yes.
fear by destroying it
yes.
forever.
Yes.
So that's why we can say that it's false evidence appearing real. It has been destroyed. It has been wiped out. It has been annihilated. It has been totally eradicated. It is gone forever. But because it appears to be here,
uh-huh.
through all of the things that we do to promote it,
mm.
we still think that we are subject to it.
Yes.
But I give God praise today that all my lifetime before I met him, I thought I was subject to this. But
mm.
now because of him giving his life and because of him destroying this stuff on the place called Calvary, I am free forever. As Marlon
yes.
said, the word free means now I am what?
Basically, concerning free, we have the victory. We are no longer under the authority or the power or subject to slavery. We're not under the power or subject to being bound, to not having the freedom to do the things that God has given us, not having that ability to do it.
Freedom. 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 That's what we're talking about today, friend. We're talking about freedom from fear. We're talking about not being afraid. We're talking about not being
yes.
to fear. As we get ready to close the podcast today, as we're coming into the runway, you ought to be with us next week.
Bless the Lord.
We're going to talk about fear again, and we're going to talk about
Jesus.
Where this device and this wicked instrument of Halloween came from.
Yes.
We're
going
to talk about how it originated in the United States of America and how everything. 60 seconds, and we're getting ready to close. But we're talking, as we talk to you next week, we want to let you know. Yes, ma'am. Would you want to say something?
I just wanted to say 1 John 4:18, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love, and the love is the love of God, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." Praise the Lord.
So we're going to get there next week. We're going to talk about that perfect love casting out all fear. And we're going to talk about the torment of fear. And we're going to talk about why God sent his only Son into the world to love us and to love people. Look, as we get ready for it next week, praise God, I want you to know that Jesus is loving you, blessing you, and keeping you through us right now.